Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again, shall we? Thank you, Father, for the time here this evening. We thank you and praise you for who you are, that we serve a living Savior. Our eternal Father is the everlasting one, and there is reality in a life relationship with you. It's not just in someone's head. It's not just on paper, but you change our lives through faith in your Son, and you enable us to be led, strengthened, provided for throughout our whole lives. We pray that you have been glorified through what has transpired. And now as we turn to your word, I pray that you would enable me to honor you. We just commit this to you with thankfulness. In your name I pray, amen. Years ago, the Gaithers made a simple chorus, most famous. It was sung for many, many years, still is. And the words of the song are, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Remember it? We could probably sing it if you all had copies of the words in front of you like I do. Last Sunday evening, one of Grandma's Sunday evening wants to do it before we go to bed on Sunday night is go on the Pensacola website and look at the Sunday service there, and especially zoom in on the time when her grandson's choir is singing, and she wants to see if she can see Nick rising above the rest of them and and hear the song. Last Sunday was the Sunday after some special meetings that Nick had asked us to pray for. They had special spiritual emphasis meetings, I think, Wednesday night through Friday, something like that. And this was the first Sunday following that. And that special closing song of the choir started out with just a quartet of fellas standing there, each holding a microphone, starting to sing a song, and they finished a chorus, and then more started coming in, different songs, different groups. Meanwhile, they never left the platform. Every time more came in, the folks just stayed there, and by the time it was all done. I mean, it was this mass of people, orchestra singing. And the final number was one which throughout the different verses, they would sing a refrain or two and then something else, but they would get back to it. But it kept referring to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And I, many nights, have trouble going to sleep. If I can go to sleep within the first hour after I lay down, that's a good night for me. Many nights, it's much longer than that. And as I lay there, okay, sleep, you can come anytime now. Let's go to sleep here. I started thinking about that song and the name of the Lord. And as I lay there, certain verses started coming to my mind. And I started thinking, you know, you're always looking for a topic for Sunday evening messages. Why don't you do a series on the name of Jesus? And on my mind all week. And Andrew, we're calling this one Above All Others. We first learned in Scripture of the name of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. Take your Bibles and turn there if you would. If you got a hold of a concordance and you ask yourself, where's the earliest place you're ever going to see the name of Jesus? You won't find it in the Old Testament under Jesus, but you will find it beginning in Matthew. Now, the very first verse, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And his name is referred to a couple of other places. But we first learn of it in verse 21, where the angel of the Lord told Joshua, Joseph. Get your doctrine and your stories right here. Mary's husband's name wasn't Joshua, it was Joseph. But that was quite a revelation starting at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Here's a man that was in love with a young woman, and they were doing everything they could to keep themselves pure and honoring in their relationship. And we find in verse 18, before they came together, she was found with child. We stop right there. You're Joseph. What do you think? The explanation had never, ever been heard of before. And from what we get in Scripture, it will never, ever be heard of again. What could he think? We know the dialogue that transpired, and we find, actually it says in verse 20, while he thought about what he should do with this dilemma, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and started speaking to him. But we get down to verse 21, and that's where we're at tonight. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. Which gives us insight as to his whole purpose for coming. He came to save you and me. Now let's turn to our text this evening. You say, I didn't know we had a text. We do. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we've said before, this word robbery means he did not think it was something that meant that much to him that he was not willing to give it up. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's phenomenal as far as the truth that Paul reveals here, but notice verse 9 calls our attention to wherefore. And we know that that means that Paul now is going to make a statement with regards to what he has just previously revealed in the verses before that. Wherefore, in light of all this, in light of all what Christ did, willingly giving up heaven and the status he had there, and willingly humbling himself and being allowed to be made a servant and take on the form of a man. Wherefore, because of all of this, God hath highly exalted him. Let's take a moment and think about that word, highly exalted him. This is the only place in the New Testament that you're going to find that word exalted. And the Father exalted his Son. What does that mean? It means to exalt to the highest rank and power, or raise to supreme majesty. That's what the Father did for his Son. He exalted him to the highest rank and power of anything you could name. And he placed his Son, he raised him to supreme majesty. Now, what tops supreme majesty? Huh? Nothing. And as we look at these verses that Paul wrote, as he had given us the picture of what it cost Christ to get to the cross, what he had to set aside for a while, what a blessing to my heart to realize that his loving Heavenly Father, whose will it was to send his only Son to this earth for you and me. I see this as, could I use the word respectfully and not dishonor our Lord? Rewarded his Son by highly exalting him, raising him to the highest rank and power, and raising him to supreme majesty. What a loving Father, and what a marvelous gift to his Son, who was coming for you and me. Now the verse goes on. Not only did God the Father highly exalt him, but what else did it do? God hath given him a name which is what? It is above every other, above every name. I don't know about you, but as I look at a verse like this, I ask myself, okay, name above. One of the beauties of Scripture is that we often find that the Greek language is very expressive. I think much more expressive than our English language. How that they have certain words that it just takes it to a different degree. Sounds the same, but the mind, or in the as the author, the writer of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chooses a certain word. The Holy Spirit so many times puts on that author's heart the most significant and most expressive of any word he could have chosen in that language. And so I ask myself, I wonder when it says he's given him a name above every name, I wonder how many different words could have been used and in our English Bibles would have been translated above. I wonder if there's more than one, and I wonder if there's one that is especially significant. Would it surprise you to discover, as I grabbed a hold of Strong's Concordance, that guess what? The word that's used here above. You look in Strong's and the listing of above, you're going to find all kinds of different words that are used, but the one that is used here in Philippians 2:9 is the top of the line. It's the most expressive. It's the most significant. Does that surprise you, since the Father gave his Son a name which is above every name? What's it mean, Pastor? The name means, listen to this, over, beyond, a way over, more than, or superior to. One of the places we find this word used was during one of our Lord's instructive sessions with his disciples when he, in Matthew 10:24, said, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. He is not over his Lord. He is not superior to his Lord. He is not beyond, more significant." This is the word that our Lord used. And as we look at this, we find that in our text, verse 9, it means simply this: the name superior to every other name. The name superior to every other name. Now the text continues. Why did God the Father highly exalt His Son? And we looked at what that meant, to place Him in the highest position of power and majesty and give Him a name which is superior to every name that could ever be given to anyone. Why did the Father do that? Keep looking in Philippians 2. He did that, number one, that someday at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. The Father rewarded His Son with such a position of might, majesty, power, with the name that no other name can come close to. He did that so that one day every knee will bow before that name. You say, you mean my neighbor? He's got the foulest mouth. Every other time, every other word that comes out of his mouth, he is cursing God. He's using God's name, blasphemy. Yeah, someday that neighbor of yours is going to bow the knee and is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Someday, an Adolf Hitler is going to confess. Someday, a Julius Caesar. Someday, a Nero is going to. Why? Because God so exalted His Son and gave Him the name which is above every name. Someday, every knee will bow to Him, and number two, every tongue will confess. That means if you confess something, you are doing what? Admitting something. Someday every tongue is going to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord, Master, Ruler, to the glory of whom? God the Father, who gave His Son such high exaltation and gave His name the most supreme name He ever could have given His Son. And someday, this is all going to transpire. As we think about this, I want us just quickly to look at some other references to demonstrate just how superior this word above. He has a name which is above. Above. What do you mean above? Let's look at some other references. This one is an interesting one. In John chapter 3, verse 31, the testimony of John the Baptist. John chapter 3, verse 31. And if you've got a concordance, take it home and look at this verse. Notice, they were asking John about Jesus Christ, and in verse 30, he said, He must increase, but I must decrease. Then, verse 31, He that cometh from above, number one, is above, number two, all. And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above, number three, all. Those three English words above, well, they look the same to us, don't they? Above, above, above. But do you know that there are three different Greek words? That's what is so expressive. When you get a hold of a concordance and you start searching and you start researching a little bit, he that, let's look at, well, what do you mean three different words? Well, he that cometh from above just shows up is kind of basically what that one is. He just appeared. Is what? He is above all. The second word has reference to rank. This one who came from above, and they had been talking about the Lord coming from the Father. And John said, well, he that came is above all in rank. And it goes on, and it says that he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. Now, he that cometh from heaven, though, is above, and here is our key word, the same one that the Father gave the Son in Philippians chapter 2. That third use of above is our key one, which, what did we say that means? That means He is over. He is superior to. He is beyond any you could think of naming. That's Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 31. Here's an interesting place this word is used. You say, well, I wonder, you know, what do you mean it's superior? It's above anything. In Acts 26, 13, Paul was giving his testimony, and he was saying, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven. Here's our word, our Philippians word, above the brightness of the sun. That's the same word. It was superior to. It dimmed the noonday sun. The brightness that our Lord saw when he saw the Lord with his own eyes on the road to Damascus. He said, there was a brightness, and it exceeded them all, brighter than the sun. Here's another place where we find that word used, and it's one we often appreciate as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested, what? Above what you are able. That's our word. God chose that particular word. He's not going to allow anything to overpower you that he will not, what? Make a way for you to escape so that you will be able to bear it. Ephesians 1:21 tells us this. It talks about Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might. Now, later on, what's principality and power identified with? Powers of what? Darkness. And God set his son at his own right hand, what? Above that. Now, it is a form of the same word that is used in Philippians. It comes from the same base word. That's how much power. That's how much authority. That's what the Father has done for us in and through his Son. He has put him far above principality, power, might, dominion, and what? And above every name that is named. Get this, not only in this world, but there will, and in the world to come. You know what? There will never be a name that will top the name of our Lord. Isn't that a blessing? Have you ever heard that before? There's never going to be a name that the Lord is going to take second place to. Our Lord Jesus. That's special, that name. Ephesians 3:20. It tells us this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, I always get the L-Y in the wrong place. Exceeding abundantly what? Above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we recall in our 1 Corinthians messages, the Apostle Paul made reference to that very truth. When he said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he gave that Old Testament reference, as it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't comprehend what's in store for us. It's far above anything we could imagine. Well, in the next few weeks, there's more to come with regard to the name of the Lord. I trust the start tonight has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. will stand and will be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for the truth regarding the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. May this short series in the coming weeks glorify you. May it encourage, strengthen our hearts. May we not just fill our heads with facts, but may our hearts be changed by your grace, your Spirit. May we be strengthened in the inner being through these truths that we are looking forward to sharing. Dismiss us now with your blessing on us. In your name I pray. Amen.